on Friday, I was at home late afternoon, and I went upstairs, and my six-year-old son, Cullen, was in his room, and he was kind of playing by himself, so I popped in there, and I'm like, hey, Cullen, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm playing, and I said, you want to play a game with your dad? He's like, yeah. So he goes down, and he gets battleships. You know, so we get the battleships out, and we put it out, and I'm thinking to myself, I've got to strategically work a plan so that he wins and doesn't lose, you know. And then about halfway into the game, I'm realizing I've got to strategically come up with a plan to try to win at this point because he's been playing at school. I didn't know this. And they've got all sorts of manipulative strategies around this stuff. And I'm looking for mirrors behind me. And I'm like, how's he doing this? So that was awesome. And, you know, when I was done playing with him, I went downstairs to Brooke. And I just said, that was so much fun just playing with my son outside of the world of the chaos of the other three kids, you know, just taking that time away with him and stealing that. And I after workday yesterday, we were here at workday for the morning, and then most people stayed, and I went home to take Cole down, our two-year-old, to put him down for a nap, you know. I lay him down for a nap, and I'm sitting on the couch downstairs, and little Hope, my five-year-old, comes up, and she hops up next to me on the couch, and I go, hey, Hope, and she goes, can I read you something? And I go, sure. And she's five, so she's just starting to read really, you know, pretty well at this point. And she pulls out all the verses from VBS from the week before, the little things. And she starts from the very first one. The Lord is God, Exodus. And I'm like, I'm just sitting there listening to her read verses to me as she's reading and learning. And I just sat there just thinking, this is incredible, man. I was at a house last night. Some friends of ours were celebrating a birthday, and we went over to hang out with them. And in the back of their house, they have this grass hill. And I took Cole, my two-year-old, because inside he was terrorizing the entire world. And so took him outside, and we're on the grass hill, and there was a volleyball out there. So I take the volleyball, and I lay it on the top of the hill, and I roll it down the hill. And he and I stand next to each other in a posed position, ready to take out of the gates like two racehorses. And we wait, we wait, we wait. The ball stops, go, and we just book it down the hill as fast as we can. And every time he managed to outrun me and win, my little two-year-old, and he dives at the very end onto the top of the ball, and he just holds it, and then he goes, find it, as though he's hiding it underneath himself. And I go, where is the ball? And he goes, here it is, and we both die laughing, and it's just unbelievable. And I'm just sitting there, and you know, as a dad, you just know you're just in the middle of all that stuff, and you're like, this is life, this is incredible. I love being a dad. And then we went home, and you know, just the weekend kept unfolding. We went home from the party. Brooke stayed a little longer because she'd gotten there late because of work day, and I put Cole down to bed, and I get Cullen down to bed because our two girls were at a sleepover. And finally, everything's quiet in the house. And much as I love being with my kids, there's also something really nice about that time where it's just like, oh. And I go and sit down on the couch again, and I sit back, and I've got my ice cream, and I hit the button to turn the TV on just to get a little bit of downtime, and this is all I hear through the monitor. Boogie! Boogie! And I'm like, what is that? So I go upstairs and I open the door and Cole's standing in his crib. It's dark in the room. And I go, what is it, buddy? And he's got his hand out like this and he goes, boogie! And on the end of his finger is a huge booger that he pulled out of his nose. So he's like, boogie! I'm like, all right. Now, if I turn the light on and I get a tissue and all that, that kind of wakes him up, and then it's another, you know, 10 minutes to get him down. So I figure I got one shot at this to get him down. So I walk over and I'm like, I'll take that. And I pull that off his finger, so I'm holding it on my finger, and I lay him down with the other hand. And I'm walking out the room real slow and I'm singing, Baba Black Sheep, have you any wool? Holding a booger in this finger that isn't my own. And as I'm looking at this, have you ever woken up in a moment in your life and gone, what happened to my manhood? That was my moment. I'm like, where did I derail in life? Where did I go wrong? I mean, I grew up thinking I was supposed to have swords and guns and have an adventure. And I'm like, Baba, black sheep, have you any? With a booger on my finger that isn't even mine. I mean, the journey of being a dad is pretty insane, isn't it? I mean, I woke up this morning. There was some stuff we needed to get done here early because I was throwing some media at the media team that they didn't know I was going to throw at them, and that always creates really stuff in the early morning. And so I get here. I'm supposed to be here at like 10 after 7, and I'm ready to leave the house. And it's about 5 after 7. I'm about to walk out of the door, and I hear Cole wake up, and I'm like, oh, I should have been in the car already, because I know how that works. And he goes, Daddy! In his crib, and I'm like, Brooke, you better get him. As I'm trying to get out the door, I hear Brooke go, oh, man, he has a huge diaper. And I just hear him go, no, Daddy, change it. And I'm like, I got to go. And then I just realized, that's going to be a 10-minute battle for Brooke if I don't just take the 2 minutes to go up there and just get it taken care of. So I run upstairs, and I'm changing his diaper. And then he wanted this, and he wanted that. And about 20 minutes later, I finally get out of the door. And I'm driving to work, and I'm like, man, I mean, you got a life. You got a vision. You got stuff you got to get done. And these kids constantly jump into the middle of it, and everything goes all over the place. And before you know it, you don't know who you are anymore. And I'm driving to church, and you realize as you're in the middle of that battle as a dad that it's not an easy thing just to figure out and just to go, oh, this is what it means to be a dad. Got it. I do these things. Wife does those things. Taken care of. It's a complex and complicated system of things that you're not really sure where to land sometimes. And you know, let's just be honest for a second. And have you ever woken up and you know, you're walking through life and you're just like, what happened to my dreams, you know? I mean, wouldn't it be nice to just go and play golf on Monday afternoon and Wednesday afternoon and Friday afternoon and all day Saturday and a little Sunday afternoon, hit a movie in between golfing 3 or 4 times a week, just kind of debrief and, you know, just sort of enjoy yourself. And then when you feel like it, you know, you might just be sitting around at home and suddenly have a whim and say, you know what, maybe I'm going to jump on a plane and travel for a week. And then what happens? You get a wife and kids and everything disappears. And you feel like it's somehow you've missed it, you know? Your masculinity's gone, your freedom's gone, the whole deal. So I jump in and I'm like, I wonder what God's take is on this, you know? Because it's odd to me that God, of all things that he decided to mark himself by outside of God, is also the word Father. That's he chose that. He chose to make himself known to us under the concept of Father, of Dad. That's what he says he is to us. And so for whatever reason, God decided to make this easy for dads, maybe because women usually get it and men don't, so he figured he better be the dad so we can follow something. So he makes himself dad, and he goes, this is what it looks like. So I dig in this week, and I go, you know what? I wonder what God has to say about being a dad. What kind of a dad he is. And I started there, but then I thought, when you really want to capture somebody's heart, you don't ask them, what kind of a dad are you? You just watch them, right? You just listen to them. You just see what they're up to. So I jumped into God's world and his word and said, I wonder what it is God says to us as a dad to his children. And I discovered something quite amazing. I want to read to you a couple of verses, and here's the deal. Don't even get your Bibles. I just want you to sit back and listen to this. Some of these are paraphrased a little bit in my own words, but the verse, if you go and read it, says exactly what that is, just a little bit more, in a little more complex of a form. These are things that your heavenly Father says to you and I as his children. These are the things he speaks into our lives to let us know how he feels about us, okay? It starts in Psalm 139, as I was doing my journey. He says that he knows everything about you. He knows when you sit. He knows when you stand. He knows when you walk. He knows when you lay down. He knows where you go. He knows everything about you. He is completely familiar with your ways. In other words, there's nothing that you do or that you are that he isn't totally intimately familiar with. In Matthew 10:29-31, he goes as far as to say he literally knows the hairs on your head. How many they are, when they fell out, what happened to them. Some of you might be wondering. He knows. He tells us in Genesis 1:27 that he made us in his image. That we're not some strange foreign object to him. That we are part of what he is, made by him, in his image, like him. So there is a sense of intimacy and togetherness. In Acts 17:28, he says that when you live and when you move and when you breathe, when you have your being, it is in him. In other words, that he sustains you, covers you, keeps you together. There is nothing about you that isn't inside of his sustaining power. You are his offspring, he says in Acts 17. Before you were conceived, I knew you, he says in Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5. Before you were ever conceived, I already knew you. He says, I chose you when I was planning creation. Before the foundations of creation were in place, I chose you, Ephesians 1, 11, and 12. You are not a mistake, he says, Psalm 139. All your days are written in my book. None of them will come to pass without my knowledge of them, Psalm 139. The exact time of your birth was calculated with purpose, Acts 17, 26. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by me, Psalm 139. I brought you forth on the day of your birth. It's magic that God stepped in and said, it wasn't just that you were born and I was somewhere else. I was right there and I brought you forth into this planet. Psalm 71, verse 6. I'm not distant or angry, despite the fact that many have misrepresented me. I am the complete expression of love, 1 John 4:16. I will lavish my love on you just because you are my child and I am your daddy, 1 John 3:1. Every good gift comes from my hand, James 1:17. I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plans for you are filled with hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. I love you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3. I love this one. My thoughts toward you, about you, are more numerous than every grain of sand on every beach. I rejoice over you with singing. With singing, Zephaniah 3:17. I will never stop doing good to you, Jeremiah 32:40. You are my treasured possession, Exodus 19:5. I will establish you, that is, set you up, rise you up, put a foundation under you, Jeremiah 32:41. I will show you great and marvelous adventures that you cannot imagine. Jeremiah 33:3. I am always with you. I will do more for you and in you than you can possibly imagine if you tried. Ephesians 3:20. I am your greatest encourager. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. I am the Father who comforts you in troubles. 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. Psalm 34:18. As a shepherd carries a lamb by his heart, I carry you close to my heart every day. Isaiah 40:11. One day, I will wipe away every tear that you have and take away every pain you've ever felt. Revelation 21:3 through 4. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. John 17:23. You know, it was Jesus who stood in the water being baptized, and the Father came, and his voice spoke loudly, and everybody could hear, and this is what he said. He said, "This is my son. I love him deeply, and I'm so proud of him." Those are my words, but that's what he said. And he says to us here that he loves us just like he loves Jesus. That is an incredible love that he has for us. Now, I don't know about you. I'm just gonna leave it there for a little bit. But how does it feel to hear those words? I mean, for each of you, different things popped out, I have no doubt. And if you go back and read those, each day, different ones will pop out to you. I mean, for me, when God said, "I think about you so much that if you counted my thoughts and compared them to the grains of the sand and all the oceans, you wouldn't be able to count them." I was just like, really? Really? Like me? Just me? Not like the world or the history? Just me? Yes, you. Oh, when he said to me, "You are my treasured possession." Whew. I mean, the last service I was reading that, and I was like, don't cry. Don't look like a pansy. This is Dad's day. And I wanted to cry. You know, when you hear words like that, they're just incredible, aren't they? that just bring you such an amazing sense of yourself. We're talking about Jesus, you know, that God had Jesus come to this planet, and he said he loves us as much as he loves Jesus, right? You have to understand something, though, that we haven't even touched on the big loves yet. Those are just the things God communicated to us. I love you, I love you, I love you. The big ones start coming in when God goes, okay, you guys are my enemies and you hate me, you can't stand me, and all you want is to have nothing to do with me. And I love you so much that despite all of that, I will allow you to crucify my son, and I will stand idly by while I allow that to happen because I know it is necessary for you to know my love and to have a relationship with me when I'm done. You want to talk about love? That's when love starts digging in. So he sends Jesus as the revelation of himself to us. And you know what Jesus calls himself? He calls himself our bridegroom. Isn't that amazing? I mean, as a man, I got to tell you, I mean, I don't exactly know what God was up to in the scheme of all the wonder and majesty that he is, but the fact that he calls himself father and then he calls himself bridegroom, I kind of go, wait a second. That's like me. I'm a bridegroom and I'm a father. I mean, this is like a no-brainer, right? And I start realizing, wait a second. If Jesus is our bridegroom and God the Father is our father, and then I'm called to be a man on this planet and I'm given the privilege to be a bridegroom and a father, suddenly some things start falling into place and I start going, wait a second. Maybe there's a much bigger picture here that I've missed in the past that I got to dig into a little bit. See, as I start realizing what God is up to, I start realizing, wait a second, what if the fact that I am a bridegroom and a father is actually the way I was wired and what God designed me to have more than anything else on this planet? See, because if God created me in his image and he says that at the end of the day, his image is to come and to cover us and to protect us and to provide for us and to love us and to speak into our lives and to watch over us, then as a man, if there's anything that's going to make me a man, a real man, that's going to bring it out in me, it is having something to do the same too, to protect and to love and to cherish and to hold and to watch over. If I don't have that, then I don't have the very thing God designed me to have. Is to have something to love. And so I start realizing maybe, just maybe, God's greatest gift to us men is to give us the call to love and to protect and to provide for our wife and our children. I was standing in my house last night. Brooke had gone up to bed. So she went up to bed a little early because I had a few more things to do. And I'm working on stuff and all the kids are quiet. The house is dead quiet. And I'm ready to go to bed. So I turn all the lights off downstairs and I get to the stairs, right at the edge of the stairs, and I'm about to turn off the very last light. And I don't know about you. I mean, maybe you guys are all sitting there going, you're insane, Renaud. But I'm telling you, man, every time I do this and I'm alone in the house and Brooke's asleep upstairs, I flip that light switch and it all goes dark. And the fear just like, it rises up and suddenly I'm like, I'm in the dark, there's bad people in the house, they're attacking me, I can't see them, and everything in me screams, turn the light back on, are you insane? And I stand there with my hand on the light, and then I start calculating, should I turn this light on, go up the stairs, turn that light on, come down the stairs, turn this light off, go back upstairs, turn, and yeah, so that I can work my way to the bed and the light. I know, it's insane, dark, you can't see, it's weird. And so I'm standing there, and suddenly, just as I'm about to work the whole plan with the light thing, it suddenly dawns on me as I've been studying for this, Renaud, you are to protect your family. And frankly, if there's someone standing in the dark right now, or some monster in the dark, if they are in this house, you better fight them, because your family's in danger. And so I stand there with the light switch in my hand, the light's off, and it's all dark, and I'm breathing, and I'm like, that's right. I'm a man to protect my family. I've got to be a man. And you know what I want you all to know? I left the light off and I walked up the stairs in the dark. In the dark. Walked up the stairs and my whole way up, I'm like, you bring it on. If you're out there, come, because I will fight you. See, the second I knew that there was something bigger in my house I needed to watch out for, all my fears kind of went away and I realized I got something to fight for. And then as I'm walking up those stairs thinking that, I realized, you know what the chances are that you and I, dads, are ever going to have the opportunity to physically protect our families from danger. I mean, let's face it. You know, back in the day, guy goes out on the farmlands, working the land, bringing in the butter and the potatoes and the meat, and he slaughtered the animal, and family's like, oh, you're great. And you come in, and you're all manly, and there it is. And even before that, you know, it was there's the people, and there's the lion, and the dad's like, oh, get him. And it's this amazing thing, and spears and swords and stuff. And now we go to work, and we got a computer, and we type. And somehow they call that manly and provision, and you're the man, and you know, we make deals on golf courses, and we're like, woo, I'm incredible. We live in suburbia. The last time I saw a lion in suburbia was never. So, you know, the whole concept of protecting on that physical level seems to kind of diminish a little bit in the world we live in. And certainly, you might have a burglar sometime, but that's highly unlikely, especially in suburbia. And even if they come in, they're usually scared and they run away. So, really, in that sense, that's not going to happen. And if it does, it might happen once. Might. So if you're here and you're like, I'll tell you what, man, if that day ever comes, I'm ready to protect my family. I'm a man. And that's what you're waiting on? Good luck. You're not much of a dad, because that day may never come. And if that's what you mark as my family will know I love them, then you're in deep trouble, I gotta tell you. I'll tell you what God does do, though. Every single day, he lays before you and I as dads an opportunity to protect our families and to provide for our families. You see, my children live in a world where from the time they're born, as they walk into this world, they face fears, insecurities, confusions, doubts, worries, and concerns about things inside of them that are deep and that are seated. And they speak to them, and the deceiver whispers to them and says, you are unloved, and you are not good enough, and everyone's watching. You'll never make it. And if you want to feel loved, you got to do X, Y, and Z, and you got to prove things, and you got to do stuff. And from the time that they're little, they start facing that incredible world of insecurity and horror and stuff. And you know what? Let me just tell you a little secret. The most powerful force on the planet to speak into that world and to protect the hearts of our children from those horrible things is the voice of their parents. And may I submit to the table that of the two voices, which are both powerful, the most powerful of those two voices is the voice of their dad, because it's often the quiet voice. And as a dad, we are handed the privilege by God to be the leaders of our home, to walk ahead of the rest of them, my wife and my children, and to lead them to Jesus, and to be a voice shouting back at them what God shouts into our lives. Can you even begin to imagine what it might be like in your child's life if their dad, the man that they look up to, their hero, sits with them? Put your hand on your son's shoulders, on your daughter's shoulders, look them in the eye, and say to them, do you know, honey? Hey, son, do you know that before you were ever born, your mom and I were dreaming about you? We loved you before you ever hit this planet. You know what? I know dad's at work, but I want you to know, if you ever wonder, I think about you so much at work that if you counted the sands on the seashores, it wouldn't measure up to how many thoughts I have about you every day. It's how much I love you. Hey, son, do you know that you are a precious treasure to me? Always have been. Always will be. Hey, I'll always be with you. Even when I'm not. Do you hear that? Do you feel it? I do. Can you imagine the power of a dad's words speaking into his son or daughter's life? Can you feel the insecurities disappearing? Can you feel it? I can. Can you feel the fear? Am I loved? Going away? You want to protect your family? The love you demonstrate to them in your words and actions is a greater weapon than you will ever imagine. Because just as God spoke into your life his love, he now gives you the privilege, dads, to speak your love into the lives of those he's given you. There's a verse that Jesus speaks of. Its application is massive, but we'll use it here because it applies here as much as it does anywhere else. He says, in the world I live in God's paradigm, in God's world, when you try and save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, then you will find it. It's an incredible paradigm when you think about it. If you try and save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose it, for me, you will find it. And let me tell you, as I think about the life of men on this planet and the deceiver and all the whispers he's whispered to us men, hey, they've robbed you of your dreams. It's the ball and chain, baby. You used to be free, but look at you now. You're pathetic. Go hang out with the boys. Do something with the men, because that's how you get to be a man. When you're home, it's just all pansy-pansy. And we buy into that stuff. Hey, you want to be a man? It's the career that'll do that for you, baby. You move up that ladder. Whatever it costs your family, they'll deal with it. They know you. They love you. But boy, you want to feel like a man. Make something of your life. And so we do, and we run, and we try and save our lives, try to find ourselves, try to find our masculinity, our manhood. And you know what we find at the end of that journey? Nothing. We find ourselves lost. We find ourselves at the end. We find ourselves on a deathbed speaking of regrets. That's what we find ourselves doing. I can Google it. There's tons of them. Never Googled, never found anything under Google that says a man was laying on his deathbed and went, I just wish I'd spent less time with my kids and my wife and more time at work. More time on the golf course, man. That's what I wish I'd done. Never. But you know what? When a man gives himself away for his wife, and pours himself into his children, and puts aside dreams and things and luxuries and movies and golf courses so that he can be there with them, then in that, somewhere along the way, as much as it's a difficult journey at first, you find yourself and you suddenly go, this is who I was meant to be. And then you are alive like you've never been. And yes, there are many days where you are walking out of a room holding a booger on the end of your finger singing, Baa, Baa, Black Sheep. But I'll tell you something. I would like to submit to you that some of the greatest moments of manhood in my life were with boogers on the end of my finger singing, Baa, Baa, Black Sheep. Because that is the moments where my child knows that I love them. And that I protect them, and that I guard them against the horrible lies that this world tries to tell them. So dads, this is not just a call. It's not just a responsibility. It is a gift. Because when you are a dad and a husband, the way God calls us to, you will find yourself. It is a travesty in our country and in our world. It is a travesty that it is the woman and children dragging the men to church. It is horrible that we have become so pathetic in who we are as men, and I'm talking about the general population, that statistics will show that at the end of the day, when it comes to any kind of relationship with God, it's usually driven by the people in the home that should be following a great masculine man to Jesus. If you sit here and you're a guy and you're like, I don't know much about the Bible, really. I leave that up to my wife or my kid. Let me just tell you, you're losing yourself. It matters that you follow Jesus. It matters that you know more than they do. It matters that you're leading. It matters that you're digging. It matters that you're pursuing Jesus. Because if you're not, you will not, cannot, do not lead. And if you don't, you might enjoy the ride, but you will lose yourself. But men, if you leave this place and go, oh no, not me. I will become the man I need to be. You will find yourself. Some of you guys are sitting here this morning, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, I wish I could have had this 20 years ago because it's too late for me now. I've already derailed my marriage and it's over. I don't even know where she is. And the children, I don't know. I've so messed up my kids, I don't even know where to go with that. Let me just tell you a little secret. It's never too late, ever. Might be too late for some things, but it's never too late to be the man you need to be. Paul writes this way. He says, forgetting what is behind, I press on toward the goal for which God called me heavenward. That means that you sitting here, whether you have your own children and you've derailed with them, whether you don't have children, whether you have a wife or not, You are called to be a man, and part of being a man is to be a father in the lives of people. First, without a shadow of a doubt, your own children. And if there's a mess there, start fixing it by giving yourself away for them. If it takes you 20 years, it's worth it, trust me. And if you don't have kids, or you've lost the opportunity to pour back into your children, then find some children that need you. One of our guys, Bill Moline, he works in the children's ministry. We had lunch the other day, and he said, you know, I go in there every Sunday, and it's chaotic, and it's loud, and the kids are crazy, and I walk out there exhausted and spent, and I hate being around so many children. It's insane, and it's like it goes against everything that I am. And he goes, and I just love it. I can't wait to show up every Sunday. I mean, you're decent, Renaud, but being in kids' ministry, that's where it's at. And he said to me, you know why? Because you can feel what it feels like to be a father to others' children, perhaps even to the fatherless. Being a dad is the greatest gift we've been given as men, to our own children and to the children in our circle of influence. Please, dads, don't lose your life by trying to keep it. Find your life by losing it for the sake of your family and your children. And you will find a beauty there that will blow your mind. There's a